Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Well, the disciples had gone back to fishing in the Sea of Tiberias. That's just another name for the Sea of Galilee. And it was probably comforting to them. Maybe some of you have cottages, places where your parents or grandparents went and fished, and you know, you have a lakeside that's really familiar that you enjoy. So maybe that's a little bit of what it was like for the disciples. It's how they had made a living for years before Jesus interrupted their lives. Now that Jesus was gone, it made sense to return to a safe harbor. But that night, they had caught nothing. They were exhausted, and they had nothing to show for it. All that was left to do was to come back home, rinse out their nets, and go home. Maybe Peter and the others experienced a little deja vu when a stranger on the shore told them to go back out again, to put down their nets on the other side of the boat, and they would do better. Well, seriously, did this guy know anything about fishing? It doesn't matter what side of the boat you put the net on. But then, John, the writer of this story, recognized that it must be Jesus out there on the shore. The last time someone had told them to fish, or how to fish, who didn't know really anything about fishing, it was Jesus. And that was how they got hooked, by Jesus, fishing for people. Jesus had called them to go on a journey with him. And that time they had dropped their nets and followed. They had been witnesses to his miracles. They had seen him heal the lame and make them walk. He could see, or he had the blind, he told the blind to see, and the deaf could hear, and the hungry were fed. They'd even seen him raise people from the dead. He had opened the scripture to them in a way that they had never heard before. And Jesus had given Simon a vision of mission when he called Peter the rock on which he would build his church. But Peter had failed miserably, denying Jesus three times. And the next day he was crucified by the Romans. But now he had appeared to them twice in the upper room. Yet not knowing what to do next, the disciples went back to the safety of fishing. As they cast their nets on the other side of the boat, they began to catch fish, oodles and oodles of them. Could it be that Jesus was back in the picture again? As they called in their catch, it seemed strange that the net didn't break. It kind of reminded them of the tunic that Jesus had that was never torn, that the soldiers had gambled for at the foot of the cross. Over the centuries, people have tried to figure out what the symbolism is of those 153 fish. Some have thought, well, maybe it has to do with the varieties of fish, and so it symbolizes the variety of people in the church. But I think it just means abundance. 153 is a lot of fish, and I even know one congregation that they cut out little construction paper fish and put them on the altar just to show, you know, what 153 fish would have looked like. Abundance is a theme in the book of John. When Jesus is around, there's enough of everything that you need. When Jesus was not present, the disciples could not catch anything. But when he was present, there was abundance. There was enough for everyone. But when the disciples got to shore, they act like it's nothing, that Jesus is there cooking them breakfast on a charcoal grill. The last time John talks about a charcoal grill, again, is that night when Peter denied him in the courtyard of the high priest. I wonder if the odor of the charcoal brought that memory back to Peter once again. So Jesus invites them to come and eat, just like he did so many times before throughout his ministry. He even fed 5,000 people by the Sea of Tiberias. Remember that little boy that had the fish, and there was plenty of bread, even 12 baskets left over? Now Jesus invites them to contribute, to offer part of their catch for the common meal. And it is in the breaking of the bread that they are absolutely certain that indeed it is Jesus who is with them. Finally comes the third part of the story, but before we go there, I thought we'd take a look at a different perspective, and that might be the perspective of Jesus. Can you imagine how he must have felt standing on the shore, watching the disciples out there fishing? They were back to their old way of life. Those on the boat were the heart of the team that he had trained, that he had spent his ministry preparing to go out into the world to fish for people. He had formed them to be his community, his body in the world. Had they not understood anything? He had breathed his Holy Spirit on them and then sent them out. And they only got as far as the Sea of Galilee. Was it all to end here? Of course, Judas was gone, but four others are missing in this group of disciples. Perhaps they had gone their separate ways as well. Jesus had to be worried about his mission. Would it ever be carried out? And so three times he asked Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than all of this? Your comfort, your home, your friends, your lifestyle. Do you love me?" And three times Peter replies, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Some scholars think this is to balance out his three denials earlier in the chapter or earlier in the book. Jesus is asking Peter to make a commitment, just like he asks all of his disciples to make a commitment. Being a Christian is not just living your life the way everybody else does during the week and then coming for an hour on Sunday to church. There's a lot more to it than that. You can see the word discipline in the word disciple. And I think this whole reading today is about recalling the disciples. And it struck me a little humorous that to think about recalling the disciples like you recall a product that isn't working well. But I think in a sense that's what Jesus is doing here. Now that Jesus has risen from the dead and he will return to his Father, he says, "Will you carry out my mission? Will you bring the abundance and generosity that he offers to others? The awesome and wonderful life that God has blessed you with, can you see it in and celebrate it in other people? Will you contribute to and participate in his kingdom? Will you accept his nourishing love, given in word and sacrament, as food for your journey? Will you show care and concern for others, even at risk of your own life? Do you love me? Then feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep for me while I am away. Leave your boat and your safe harbor and do my will in the world. Follow me." The whole reading is a lesson in post-resurrection discipleship. Once we have been touched by Jesus' self-giving love and have participated in the abundance of life that he offers us, there's just no turning back to the old life. We have to move forward. For Peter, that meant he would become the fiery preacher of Pentecost. He would confront elders and the high priest. He would reach out to a Roman centurion named Cornelius and baptize him and his family. He would be delivered from prison, and finally, he would be martyred in Rome. God calls each of us to use our unique gifts and our struggles in discipleship to benefit the faith and the life of other people. Together in community, we embody the abundance, the strength, and the love of the risen Christ to the whole world. We are blessed, we are fed, and we are sent. I'd like to close today with a prayer. Gracious God, we confess that often we are tempted, as Simon Peter was, to retreat from what we know we must do as your disciples. Give us the courage to answer again your call to be your people in this time and in this place. Amen.